Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
listeners. This is Sweet Tea on Sweet Discussions, wrapped up inside of all poetry. And inside of all poetry, the largest poet site on the internet is Team of Voices. Team of Voices is a group of people that love to discuss their poetry. Come on by, join us, and have a great time. Tonight on Sweet Discussions, we're going to be talking about summer camp and those lovely little stories that we talk about around the campfire. Those beautiful ghost stories of monsters, of the hook man, of the babysitter, of the little girl roaming in the woods, followed by the axe man looking to help her find her way home. Hopefully you know of those stories, you've written of those stories. Call us just for a little bit and tell us your favorite campfire story. You can reach me at 646-668-2837. Come on by, give me a call. It is Sweet Discussions after all. So let me say hello to my beautiful friend, Rack and Tor. Hello, Rack. How are you tonight?
I brought two sticks to rub together.
Ooh, yay, let's die far. Your legs and mine.
Wow.
Good to know. We started some sparks. Now let's start the fire.
You didn't start the fire.
I love that song. It was always burning since the world's been turning. Like one of my favorite Billy Joel songs. Ever. It's kind of quiet here. And just to confuse all my listeners, I'm leaving Wednesday nights. I'm jumping over to Tuesday nights, which affects you, Raconteur. Just so that you know, I'm going to be moving your show again.
Yeah.
Because I can't find a home. I have chest therapy for some muscle things that are affecting my breathing that I have to start doing because when they woke up and opened my chest, it hasn't healed together right. So I'm going to start doing some muscle memory thing so my nerves will start doing what they're supposed to do. I guess it's very hard to explain, but it's something I need to get done. So I apologize to everybody that I've been running amok on and doing bad things. Even though I'm almost on my 2-year anniversary, I'm still not 100%, and it's kind of annoying. So I apologize to all of you again and again and again, because I was more than happy just to bow out for a while. So I was left on poetry for a little bit, but I was told that was not an option.
No. We need to.
Yeah, I would have been more than gracious to just step away for a while, but was asked not to do that. But I do hate being an inconvenience to all of you, so my gracious apologies. So starting in July, I will be Blazing Airways on Tuesday nights. So we'll have to figure out what I'm going to do there. So I don't know what I should do, but we'll see what happens. So next Tuesday, I have no idea, but we'll figure out something. We'll figure out what I'm going to do. It should be fun. But tonight, we're going to talk about campfires. What do you think about campfire stories?
Hey, is it just you and me? Campfire stories.
Just you and me. That's it. It's just you and me. I'm telling you what, everybody else, it's a holiday weekend. Nobody loves me anymore. We're just hanging out by ourselves.
Well, we know that's not true. But stories told around the campfire, huh? I don't know. I hear campfire.
Yeah.
I think of that, the cliche name, the campfire girls and things like that. Not so much the stories. I never was, big on going out and actually starting a real campfire and hanging out in the wilderness and whatnot. That wasn't a big part of my growing up. The stories were there, but the campfire wasn't.
Really?
Yeah.
It's always like the campfire horror story girl and, you know, doing all that and come to me campfire kind of crazy woman. Yeah, I always had those. Yeah. Always had the campfire things going on.
Marshmallows. Roasted marshmallows.
Yeah. The roasted marshmallow thing. Yeah. That was me. Always about that.
Just beyond the dim light of the fire. What's going on in the woods, Suku?
I don't know, but I have several poems I can tell you. I was definitely one of those kind of people that had that world. I went to summer camp and, you know, did that thing. So we played those games and scared the bejesus out of children, and I was one of the children they scared the bejesus out of, and nobody seemed to care.
Aww.
And, you know, it was like, hey, come on along, let's have some fun. The children. See how many children we can have pee their pants tonight. So, you know, that's summer camp fun. No matter what. Wow, come on now. Don't be a bad computer. Don't be a bad computer. Yeah. Well, that was a whole other thing. Don't go near the lake. You know, don't go near the lake.
What was it, Lake Minnetonka?
No, it was funny. It was Shalom Lake. Shalom Lake Camp is where I went, and it was very funny because I went to a Christian camp, but the campground was named Shalom Lake. So I thought that was kind of funny. isn't that humorous? Yes. So I went to a Jewish camp, the Christian. But yeah, that was kind of one of my funniest moments. Where'd you go to camp? Shalom Lake. Are you Jewish? No, I'm Christian. But that just happened to be the camp we went to.
Shalom.
So,
Mazel Tov.
Mazel Tov. Yeah, so it was a great lake. I loved going to that camp. It had the greatest swing there ever. It was just a great place to go. And I remember going back one time when I was older, almost like an adult, and everything was so small. It's like, how did this campground get so small? I mean, there was like this huge hill we used to go up to eat from the bottom of the cabin, and I'm like, this hill looks like nothing compared to what it did as a child. It was like humongous, and it's not at all now. And I was like, this is crazy.
Did they have like
this
camp?
It's not going to make me happy. I'm sure they still camp there. I just, you know.
No, I mean, camping. Did they do the activity thing? Like, you know, we're going to make a wallet or, you know, something like that.
Oh yes, and we probably made mini Bibles for the Jewish families that stayed at the Shalom part. I don't know. I really don't remember. No, we did. We made things and you know, the macaroni things and did all that, and they had the best biscuits you would ever eat. But we did. I you know, you painted things, did the macaroni thing, and I love the biscuits we got at camp.
Yeah, and it's a simple recipe, but you know, it's one that you could really mess up bad.
Yeah, these were called angel biscuits, and they were so, so good. Just can't even. They were just so good, and you're just like, I want more of those biscuits. And the camp counselors were like, no, you get two. I'm like, but I want more. What do I have to do? I'm like, do I have to say another prayer or what? What's going on? They're like, no, you get two. I'm like, oh. And what the whole rift of my entire existence as a child was that my parents were the youth pastors. So I never had fun.
Oh,
because,
no.
Like, I was young, and yet they were the teenage, like, the youth pastors. So it was, I never had fun. Just not any fun. I mean, I wasn't old enough to be with the quote-unquote youth, because I was like the teenage group. So I was never like, I was always too young for that. But it was just like, I never look forward to like, oh, yay, get to go hang out with the youth pastors, because they're the coolest people in the world. And I'm like, no, they're my parents. They're no fun at all. Trust me, I know them. Yuck. No, they're not fun. So, yeah. But then the teenagers would try to scare the crap out of the young ones. So when my parents were gone, these guys were telling the most brutal, gross, disgusting stories on the planet. And then they're threatening you like, go get your parents. So I got it twice. So it was like, oh, yeah, campground's fun. Yeah. So we really had a great time.
Did you see any wildlife?
Here anymore, so. Yes. Yeah, we did. Okay. Hey, Wayne's on the line. Wayne.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine. My computer's updating, so I can't do nothing. My computer update, I can't really see nothing. So I need to, I'm going to call you back in about 10 minutes.
I can't see nothing either,
okay.
Paul. Don't worry about it.
I'll be back.
Yeah, Rex has the same problem. He can't see crap.
Yeah, I can't. My phone's tied up right now. My computer's tied up. I can't do nothing. I can't see nothing. Makes me mad. But I'll be back in about 5-10 minutes.
Okay.
Don't let the smoke.
I'll just keep talking to Rex and Tor. He's
and
another blind guy. Yeah.
When the smoke gets in your eyes. I was asking about wildlife, because for me, you know, camping means wildlife, being out in the wilderness with the raccoons and the owls and hopefully not the bears and the wolves. You're in Colorado.
No bears.
There
are no
wolves.
Bears. I mean, this is Ohio. There's not a whole lot of bears hanging out in Ohio.
Oh.
I'm just saying. There's just not. I have an issue because I cannot get my poem to copy and paste. No matter what I'm doing here, my poem has just decided, like, no, I'm not going to copy and paste. It's not
just
happening. Look. Yeah, it's just not going to do it. I don't know why. It's just decided that, no,
the words I can't.
Me. I'm not. Something like that. It's like, no, we don't want to do that. And now I'm just like, oh, no. No. I'm not very good at this. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still
here. I've got to make sure you're
still
there because I lost the page I was on.
I'll sit in your lap.
Oh, good.
It ain't going anywhere.
Somebody needs to.
Right behind your dad. I'll sit in your lap right behind your dad, you and I.
Okay. Don't be funny like that. Oh, good God. Help me. Help me. Oh, wait, here's Deb. Deb. Come on, say hello. Say hello. Come on, little thing. Push the button. There, wait, it's working. Hello, Deb. How are you?
Hello, hello. How are you?
Huh.
Hi, Rex.
I'm struggling.
Molly.
Struggling tonight. Struggling. I can't get my computer to copy my poem at all. It won't copy and paste. It says not responding, so I can't put my poem on the board. So I can't do it. And I only got a blind guy to help me, so it's not working out at all for me.
Okay,
so,
is it on your topic board or on your page?
It's on my page. It's called Summer Camp Counselor.
Oh.
I can't get anything to post on the board.
Not responding.
I'm not going to do this. Nothing is responding. I am so... freaking Fraggle Rock.
This page is on vacation.
It'll be okay.
My,
it'll work itself out.
Well,
but in the
I
meantime,
need to get a new computer. So.
Well, I
do.
Know Hatter's finishing one up for you, and I just put yours on the board. So.
Yay! I'm using an iPad for Blog Talk. I am trying to get this half-dead computer to work, and I don't know. I'm just ready to cry most of the time. Okay, so this is summer camp counselor. Now I will try to read it. Here we go. Shadows dance in yellow waves as red flares glare. From the slash veins of blue flames, sit with me as campfire themes and plots thicken, and tales of hooks as body parts depart from faceless lips and headless horsemen stallions neigh. Ebony clouds hide moonlight's grin, the howls of wolves are silent, and the crickets have lost the lyrics of their song. Listen to into the nothingness, for here comes the stories of the dead. Curly-haired, spoiled female flesh giggles in the onyx night as her urine dribbles on the alabaster fingers crawling out of the dirt, tap, tap, tapping on the edge of her silk slippers. Men in boys' skins trapped in cotton bags under stars, dry rubbing boxer shorts freeze as witches cackle and swing from nooses in the trees above them. Icicles hiss as glowing ember logs sizzle in protest at their early execution, the stabbing and burning ritual of marshmallows lie in the gruesome pile of broken lumber. As the fire dies and the sun rises, the evilness of campfire fables fade, and fear crawls back into the dark. I retract my claws and lick myself clean. Stretching my face towards the sun, I pick the bones of my young listeners from the back of my teeth and smile. Telling campfire stories is my favorite activity. I love my job and Pope.
Look at you. Not just a storyteller, but a chef at the same time. I love your description. You know, you take us to summer camp and then some. what else are you going to really do around the campfire? I don't know. Wrap something up in tinfoil and throw it in. That was, I guess, how you cooked back then when you went on the camping, when you went camping. But, you know, I love the imagery that you bring out, that the crickets losing their songs and things like that. You know, that definitely speaks to me of being out in the campfire, because that's one of the first things I always think of is the woods. And, you know, I guess, you know, the campfire becomes the central focus of the evening, and you kind of get lost in that a little bit. So, you know, you get carried away with your story and things going on just beyond the light of what's going on. It's got a lot of darkness in it, and, you know, all of a sudden you're gone. I mean, I don't know. It sounds like you got fed up with somebody and had a good time at the It was a lovely piece. So it really was. It was true storytelling at its best.
Thank you.
What'd you think, Deb?
You know, I think this is one of those perfect examples as to why she rapidly started being called our Queen of Darkness, because, like, this is fireside stories, and man, I don't even know which one to start pulling to quote. Let me start from the end and go backwards. Like, imagine the bones of a young listener from my back teeth. I pick the bones of the young listener from my back teeth and smile. Imagine listeners right now who are thinking, man, this chick's vicious. And icicles hiss as glowing ember logs sizzle in protest of their early execution, the stabbing and the burning ritual. Marshmallows lay in gruesome piles. I mean, that's an extremely wicked description of roasted marshmallows and whatever else this chick's roasted on her grill there. And I noticed that I already had this on two lists, and I wrote, In OMG, this is so fantastic, sweet. Holy beep, this is just too cool for words. You're amazing. And it's like, still years later, just as deep and dark and fun, and again, proven our queen is our queen of darkness for sure. Really awesome, sweet medal winner.
Thank you. Yeah, it's probably one of my favorites. I got to tell you, I really, you know, this is like the poem I actually came upon and went summer camp, and I just kind of rolled with this theme tonight, and I went, yeah, it's about that time. Fourth of July is coming up. Everybody's camping. This will work. So I wanted to be the first poem we read tonight because this is what it's all about. So I'm very excited about, you know, tonight's theme, and I'm glad people are finishing up some poems. I got some on the board. I talked to Stephen Kay earlier, and Stephen was telling me a story about he actually dressed up as the hook, and I would have loved to have been there when he actually came up as the hook, and that's a story he's promised to tell me later, so I'm pretty interested in hearing that. That should be pretty awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
Did I miss Wayne?
Wayne's coming back. He had a computer glitch, so he'll be back.
Sweet scared him away.
I did. He said he couldn't see anything, and Iraq was like, neither can I, but, you know, we don't know where he's going. Yeah. So that was pretty funny. That's really great. So I am going to see if I can pull up Mr. Frank. Maybe I can get him. Let's see. I'm going to really try. Frankie. Frank. Come on. Come on.
You can't have a campfire without some Franks, huh?
Yeah. Cannot. And it will not let me copy and paste. I'm not doing well. I'm sorry, Deb. I need you. I need your help. Not let me copy and paste anything to the board.
That is.
Thank you. All right. Let me hit play.
Allow me to enter the susceptible core of your fragile mind at will, and take you then on a surreal journey of absolute terror felt into the deep recesses of the cold, dark chambers of horror, a phantasmagoric world where dreams are not hallucinations, a place of lingering shadows in the asphaltic shade of death, magenta balls of an acrylic colour, of the aisles of a macabre theatre, hoary ashes of broken fragments, of alabaster bones of amputees, the reverential applauses from the rows of skeletons in the audience. The curtains rise and the presenter of this wicked play of acts announces the actors of thespianism that will be the nocturnal entertainment scene. But you are the main actor of this sinister play, and I am the playwright, the perverted creator of haunting illusions feeding off human fear. The air is full of the ghostly vapour, a poisonous fume spreading then, ghastly echoes of the voices of the tortured souls of a centurial inquisition. Scenes of fret and scare accompany obstreperous screams of gasping breaths, the heavy chops of the sounds of axes piercing through thick skulls of victims. A creepy figure of a man with eight sprawling arms of tentacles appears before the members of the audience, amused by the distorted spectacle, dressed in his black waistcoat and trousers of ebony eyes of fright, with a Machiavellian smile and a fist of villain laughter heard. Ladies and gentlemen, Welcome to the dark world. Let the gore commence. This is not a nightmare. I am your bloody reality in the room.
You talking on the mute button, sweet?
Yes, this is not a nightmare. Let the gore come in. First off, I love the last lines. Not to mention all the other beautiful lines in there, but the last lines are the best. Just FYI. Because they remind you, this is not a nightmare. Let the gore come in. I love that. Just open up everything because it's coming. Everything I just stated is here. It kind of reminds me of that poltergeist. They're here. Just a great spin. Great spin on that. Frank, you, the laugh is really like a lot of people like that, but this time I think your verbiage at the end was killer. I really, there's so much in there, but I just think you just tied it like with that perfect little satin bow when you said, let the gore come in. This isn't a nightmare. Oh, sometimes you make me giggle in all the right places. Deb, take the rest of the lines because I chose mine very well.
Oh, this is like wicked stuff. I have this on a couple lists too. This is a perfect example of why we love getting recordings of people doing their poems, because between that, the background music that he picked, from the words, from the tones in his voice, from the visuals here, dreams are not hallucinations, a place of lingering shadows. Where's it? Rows of skeletons in the audience. I mean, just all the little details that turn just some words on a page into an epic story, and then the drama is added with his voice and the background music and stuff. It's excellent. It's always fun. Great share, Frank.
And Reckontour, speak with you.
Well, what was that line he called it? The Theater of the Macabre? Yeah, this is a horror story. I mean, you know, he's got everything from alabaster bones to the skeletons to let the gore come in, open the gore, and then of course, you know, the signature laugh at the end. He was restrained in all the right places, and he left just enough to our imaginations to make it spooky.
Yeah. This has got the chuck up to be one of my very favorites, just so that you know, Frank. I just really love this.
Yeah, I mean, I like that he didn't go overboard, you know. There's enough there, enough meat, enough gore, but not, you know, he didn't go crazy.
Yeah, I've been telling people, like, the names of my list for them, and Frank's is Frank's Fatal Reads. And this is definitely a fatal read.
Frank's fatalities.
He's definitely got this one down pat. There's just so much I love about that. Very well done, so very well done. All right, so I rebooted my computer. So let's see if it's going to do anything nice for me.
Copy paste.
It Yay! So excited.
At least that was a good
There
aw.
We go. Oh, my God. I got Stephen up. We could do Stephen. Stephen, Stephen. I could do Stephen SoundCloud. Yay. All right, Stephen. And then, Deb, you don't have to babysit me all night. All right, here we go. Here's Mr. Stephen.
This piece was written to local legends that have been cited, even Ohio, down in Virginia, in New Hampshire, Pennsylvania. They're called Devil Monkeys, and this is called Even Melonheads Stay Out of the Danville Town Forest by Stephen 76. Deep in the Danville Town Forest, up to the edge of ye old cemetery yard, even tied branches claw at you, making the way out so hard. Hear them yipping and howling, these hairy bipeds on the hunt, the teeth of razor sharpness they've wafted on your musk. Red eyes reflect the moonlight, shining through the tangled treetops, to taste your blood thereafter. Primal hunger will not stop. Up front, behind, left, and other side, surrounded by their growls, devil monkeys are now so close, smell their breath most foul. It won't be over quickly. Feel their fangs sink in your nape. Wet fingernails rip through your bowels. Your abdomen lays agape. Be them in those woods of New England lore, awaiting those who've lost their way. Or perhaps they're at university, all chained up in a crate. End poem. Brought a little creature in there, too.
Wow. Devil monkey. That's kind of scary. I'm from Ohio. I don't want no devil monkey on my ass. I like it.
You get that monkey off your back.
No kidding. It will be over quickly if your fangs sink in your nape. Wet fingernails rip through your bowels. Your abdomen lays agape. That just sounds like something went a little too far, doesn't it? That's just gross and beautifully written in a nasty, gross kind of way, but don't run into the devil monkey. It just sounds so wrong and gross and something no one ever wants to run into. And it does sound like something someone tell you while you're deep in the woods around a bonfire and all the trees are hanging around and they just look at you and go, there are devil monkeys. Don't look in the trees. He's out to get you. Now, that's the kind of thing you want to tell small children while they're out in the woods. Because monkeys live in trees. Oh, what do you think, Deb? Want to meet the devil monkey?
No, I do not, as a matter of fact. I wrote for this show, too, and I picked the same one. And the town, I think the town that that he chose it from up there is around the area of Skye. And, like, we always talk about the Jersey Devil, but this critter thing looks just as vicious. Some of the pictures show them with, like, devil teeth and these long talons for fingernails, and some of them show it really monkey-looking. So it was a good choice, and like, red eyes reflect the moonlight shining through the tangled treetops to taste your blood. Thereafter, primal hunger will not stop. I mean, it's just, and what was it? Devil monkeys are now so close, smell their breath most foul. And it was like, you know, it was a treat for the senses with the like goosebumps that come from the thought of that hot, stinky breath near you and probably some kind of terrible noise. And it's just, he did a great job with it. And he scored a 10. Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
I always point them out on him.
Iraq and tour.
Oh, this is great. It reminds me, believe it or not, of the safari at Great Adventure. If you've ever seen the baboons attack a car, you know, they're beautiful to look at and everything, but and they look so innocent. But when they get riled up, it's like, oh, my God, it's not just mischief. They've got incisors. Their fangs are, like, insane. And when they howl, it's like, did that just come from that? It's really spooky. It's almost like a transformation, like he's talking about. So yeah, the devil monkeys are very believable in that regard. And I'll when they go crazy, that's what I'll always think of, because man, when they snarl, they go back and they've got, you know, these big teeth and they're strong, you know. Back in the day, when they first opened Safari, I guess what people didn't realize, part of the glue that held down the vinyl tops was made of banana. So the monkeys would like rip the vinyl tops off the tops of the cars and to get it to glue. And you know, you'd go into the Safari with a pristine car, and you come out, and you know, Jim Brewer's got a great routine about the Safari and Great Adventure also. If you ever have time to look for that's hysterical. The monkey standing there triumphantly with the windshield wiper screaming as the car rolls away. You know, they pull off the hubcaps and they're chewing on the tires. Man, I mean, the visual, and he managed to, you know, to rhyme the gore, you know, like you pointed out too. What was the line? He had some lovely, you know, biting at the nape of your neck, and you know, he didn't sacrifice any imagery there. You know, it was like, you know, oh, out, you know, it was a great story, and yeah, I'm believing there's monkeys out there.
And you know, the image that you have in your head from the poem is spot on, because I've seen them at Great Adventure mad at each other, and like you said, their incisors are like, you don't want to mess up. They could just rip your face off. And it's like, I have seen them attack cars. I don't know if it's at all the Great Adventures, but out here they have the bypass, because a lot of people won't even go in that section. They just skip it. Because they can be, like you said, vicious buggers.
And they swarm at you. They come at you in troops. It's not just one
bag
monkey
mentality. Yeah, it's 1 minute they're cute, and next minute they can be terrifying.
So, Deb, I've sent a picture of the Jersey Devil. I put a picture of the Jersey Devil on the board. Have you ever seen one?
That's a nice urban legend.
No, that is actually the Jersey Devil.
Well, no, I've never seen that. It's very bat-like, but not.
Okay, so
dogish, wolf-like, but not. But the Jersey
Devil. I will tell you the story.
More humanoid.
This is.
Look at that! Holy crap!
This is what. Okay, so I used to study folklore. Okay, so this is what they assume people called the Jersey Devil. This is the hammerhead bat. It is one of the largest bats in the world, okay? It's not native to the Jersey area.
I give it to you. He very much looks like the images that they show, but they're more man-ish, like. But, yeah, no,
right.
I can
see. But fly,
yeah.
Right. So if you look up this bat, the stories of him flying around at that time when the Jersey Devil became, there was a bunch of these that had actually been shipped over at that time of that. And anyway, this particular bat, who literally can stand for anywhere from 3 to 4 feet high, has a wingspan of almost 6 feet, actually correlates to the time of the Jersey Devil storyline. So he correlates a lot with that time of the Jersey Devil folklore. So that is actually one of the possibilities of people actually, quote unquote, seeing the Jersey Devil is with correlates with these sightings of these bats. And back in the day, they would have never thought this was actually a creature that existed, because he's from actually the African, I think it's Africa, that this bat is from.
Native too.
Yes, there's definitely a mega resemblance to the photos that are all over the place, and that specific bat. And you figure if you stand that bat on a tree, maybe when it's winter and there's no leaves, it might look like legs. I don't know. For a dark silhouette at night, I could see it easily being.
And they have pictures of him standing straight up, like on his legs. It's incredible. This is like one of the every time I see pictures of this bat, I'm like, this is like a crazy freaking. I mean, it's insane. This bat is insane. The hammerhead bat.
Right. Huh.
Yeah, so yeah, you should do like totally poems about your Jersey Devil using pictures of this bat.
Wickedness.
Yeah.
We're certainly not going to write about the Jersey Devil hockey team.
Yeah,
right.
But I'm just saying, if you did, and I was the second you said it, I'm like, I wonder if she's actually ever seen this bat. But
well,
yeah, he fascinates
dad,
me.
One night when my dad got home, he had thought he hit it on the way home from the shore.
He may have, because these bats are still in the Jersey area.
That's crazy. So what do they call that when a species invades an area that it doesn't belong in? There's a name for that.
But they're still there. That's a campfire story, baby.
Oh yeah, campfire story is to be in the woods where the Leeds house is, and because then you get everybody all scared, and then you know nobody wants to go near the little cabin, and every noise is exemplified, and you scare the living hell out of each other, and then laugh the next day and tell everybody about it. And you know, you make it a fish story, so then by the time we're done, a bat that's the size of a small dog becomes a man, where, you know, Mama Leeds, what was she doing, you know, kind of crazy stuff.
So Hatter is having problems with his phone and asked me to read his poem. But, Deb, if you would read yours first, that would be wonderful.
I can do that. I'm grabbing it right now.
Okay.
And I will have it there in a second. Right under the Jersey Devil, I'll post it. There it is. Okay, so this was a little fun one called What's in the Stew at Your Summer Camp? Here we go. Blackbirds fly singing. Sunshine stains the sky, warming the afternoon air for the children swimming, laughing as they splash without a single care. At Camp Crystal Lake, Mom cooked the meals as counselors slept around, and neath opaque waters the nest swallowed and Jason drowned. Cloudbursts explode, thunder stomps the land, thumping as acid rain pelts, jump-starting a buried pulse. Two kids run screaming, marked with red welts. Neath 6 foot of dirt in the graveyard ground, insects snuggle in his corpse. Cemetery tombstones shake, lightning cracks the view, neon lights warp. The maggots animate, shaping in Jason's arms, legs, and body squiggle. He climbs up from the coffin wearing a hockey mask. Eyes squirm and wiggle. Hacking the poker and trekking back to the camp to splatter sleeping campers, skewing them for the kebabs. He'll roast over the bonfire, then feed the counselors, shoving pieces in throats, gagging them as they weep. Blood splatters as machete hits. If they open the summer camp, do not eat the crocks of stew. Eating teens triggers zits. Chef Jason cooked them in copper pots in the fireplace, froze the meals just for you, dicing up the maggot larvae, too. You may look in the concoction, spying my eyeballs now, goo. But Jason was misunderstood. He just wanted to be a famous chef. And Paul.
Oh, this is why I should mute, because I just giggled through your whole poem. This is marvelously done. Poor Jason. Why is it these men are never understood? Oh, and he works so hard, too. It's very hard to get those eyeballs to cook without popping. You know, it's just like
there's a talent,
you know, grapes. If you pop them, you know, before they're ready to pop, you ruin wine. You just can't, you know, cherries are the same way, plums, there's just a certain way to make jelly. Wow. You know, it's really funny. In my life, I've lived in Crystal Lake and on Elm Street. I've lived a dangerous life. I like how, you know, insects did not burrow. They did not gut into. They snuggled in his corpse. Because Jason was kind of a man. They snuggled. I like that word. I like how they snuggled in his corpse. I thought that was great imagery, because that's what I saw, is like little snuggle buddies up on his corpse. I found that hilarious, by the way. I don't know if he did that on purpose, but it worked for me. I just saw them snuggling like up against his chin. Like, aw. Little, like my puppy snuggles with me. Jason's little bug snuggled on him. I squirmed and wiggled, like a little back and forth. That's okay. Shoving pieces in their throats, gagging them as they weep. But he didn't make them weep long. He took that machete and took care of them. You know? And God forbid, you know.
Nice and dice.
Eating teens. Yeah, you get the zits there. You don't want to get those, because there's never enough toilet paper at summer camp. Never, never. Somebody always takes it and puts it over there at the head counselor's tents and wraps it around the tree. So where are you going to be? You're going to be there without the toilet paper. You know, I thought this was really funny. And, you know, Chef Ramsay probably needed Jason in his kitchen. They could both be talking about things they shouldn't be talking about. And, I thought it was brilliant. Very well done. And Hatter, your Raconteur, your thoughts?
Don't mess with my food. Oh, man. There's some crazy things in dishes sometimes that, you know, I want to taste it before you tell me what's in it. But, you know, at the same time, you know, the idea of the eyeballs and the blood and the guts and the shish kebabs, you know, you almost want to use that as an excuse for, like, you know, well, why is he going so crazy? Well, he's just gathering ingredients for his stew. He's hungry. I like mayhem in this, you know, running around killing everybody. Just, you know, that's Jason. And then you got the maggots and the worms involved. Like Sweet said, and they cuddle. That's awesome. that's just awesome.
Yeah, I gotta say, I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah, because that takes me down a whole different road. All right. So,
Chef Ramsay.
Chef Ramsay. Okay, got to go find Hatter's piece because he sent me a message. So, you know, that's going to be easy. There we go. Dun-dee-dun. it's very fun to read too, so I'm pretty excited about it. Oh, I'm so glad my computer starts to work after the reboot.
You could play.
I know. Think. All right. Here we go. The Coming of the Unholy Dawn by J. Hatter. The summers of youth change the dark. Stories told by the fires of passage are hailed by the coming of the unholy dawn. Names misspelled followed each day, awaiting the return from where it was exhumed. Beware the eyes that wander in bands, seeking the severed hands taken as headless trophies. Reach for what is not there. Stepped on stone ledges in fear, fall against the shortened path, or sink below the rising stench. Dreams to breathe once more, exhale on the clouds to witness the end. Strip the cloth from the bones dangling across the marshmallow poles. Fear fills sleep with sounds, heard beating, then repeating the unholy tales. The summer of youth change the dark. Stories told by the fire's passage are held by the coming of the unholy dawn. End poem. Yay! That was brilliant. I love it. Of course, it's written by Hatter, so of course I'm going to love it. But, oh my God, reach for what is not there. Step on stone ledges in fear. Fall against the shortened path or sink below the rising stench. What great lines are in here. Ah. Names and spells follow each day awaiting the return from where it was exhumed. Oh, my God. I don't know how he does this. He certainly does it well. Lower your dreams to breathe once more. Excel in the clouds to witness the end. Excel in the clouds to witness the end. Oh, my goodness. I don't know where I want to be anywhere in this poem at all. Heard beating and repeating the unholy tales. Stories told by the fire of passage are held by the coming of the unholy dawn. By the coming of the unholy dawn. So it's better just to hang out in the fires of passage. Because the unholy dawn, God only knows what's going to happen when the sun comes up. You don't know what's going to happen. Ah, back into our thoughts.
Back muted?
I guess so. Deb, you're
my
oh, there he is.
Stupid phone. I was rambling away. Classic Hatter, you know. Sorry, Hatter. I enjoyed the poem very much. I love the language, the verbiage. You know, like Sweepy mentioned, the coming of the unholy dawn, the words that you use. You pull out a great image, a great story.
Love it. Deb, your thoughts?
Yeah. You know, I think it's really cool how he started this one with the summers of youth change the dark, because that's like so true, because you come to this particular age where you have so much fun scaring each other, and the campfire stories and just the urban legends and stuff like that all come out and change how you think about the dark in your, you know, usually in the summertime. So I thought that opening line was really, really clever. And then as I was reading through, waiting to see which lines you quoted, I realized that he sort of back, flipped it at the end, and he said, you know, the same thing, but it was like bringing it back full circles. The summer of youth changed the dark stories told by the fires of passage are held by the coming of the unholy dawn. And there's, you know, there's something spooky about the thought of an unholy dawn. But I, like I said, I really liked it. Both sides, the beginning and end, repeat. And it's a truth. The summer of youth changed the dark. It's actually quite a brilliant statement right there. I wish I thought of it. Fun share, Hatter.
Absolutely. So I have actually just Wayne's home left, and I do not have, I believe, his SoundCloud. What's his SoundCloud in?
Does he have one? Because I didn't see one when I did them. I can put it in if there is one.
No, I don't think there is. I think he called to read it to say he was having problems with his computer. And it's one of his I Killed Somebody poems. So I don't want to read it. I'd rather he read it for me. And that is pretty much all the poems I have for tonight. So I can I'd rather let him read it on his own. I don't want to read it for him. Kind of told Rack we're moving to Tuesday. I told all my listeners I'm moving to Tuesday. What else is going on the rest of the week? Because we do have a holiday coming out.
Yeah. Well, Saturday night, the topic is dreams, wherever that word takes you. Dig into your vault. Maybe you have a poem on dreams there. That's at 10 o'clock.
Dreams.
And on Monday,
dreams.
Monday is the 4th of July, so I didn't put any big two-part, three-part prompts. There's just a whole bunch of red, white, and blue art to write to for anybody that'll be around later that night.
Okay.
And then we meet first Tuesday after that, so
it's going to be me.
Okay. And then I'll have to see what when Rack and Tour wants to go. Because I left a voicemail, but I never heard back. So.
I called you back today.
You called me back? My phone doesn't say I missed any calls. I mean, it's not that I don't believe you. My service here stinks, but
yeah,
it doesn't tell
you
me
said that on your message.
That's why, because it's that bad. Did you choose another night?
I didn't say it on the voicemail, but yeah, I'll take Thursday. I'll do the you know pile on with pretty big. And I think
she's the first Thursday. Which one do you want? Two, three,
no, the
four.
The last one.
The last one. There you go. All yours. Putting your name on it now. And thank you.
Oh, no problem.
My beautiful sweet must be muted again.
I was listening to you talk. I was muted because my big old Amadeus came in the room and started talking to me. What a big man.
She spoke into the days.
He says, I am officially 12 and a half years old now.
Aww.
Yeah.
12 and a half. I thought you were a little bit older than that.
Nope. He's 12 and a half. He says, I'll be 13 in January. Yep. He's old enough. We don't need to push it. A long life for an Australian Shepherd is 14 years old. So he's doing good, aren't you, buddy? I lost Shadow when he was 13 and a half, so I'm very, very, very tender with this one right now.
Rock me out, Dave.
Has he ever seen a sheep?
Yeah. Amadeus, yeah, he's heard a sheep.
He has. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's heard it. Mystique has heard it. Remy has not been on sheep yet. No, actually, Remy was on sheep when he was very, very young. Like, I think he was 12 weeks old. But, yeah, they all herd. I take them herding. They do everything. There's nothing these dogs don't do.
I mean, it doesn't mean they were trained to do it. I've seen, you know, when they whistle and they make them change direction. I think that's amazing.
Remy and Steve are both, all my dogs have come from herding farms. So basically when they're very young, they do like instinct herding. So the dogs that they breed are for herding. So most my pups have the instinct test, and if they fail the instinct test, then they're basically given away to really good homes. So my dogs mm-hmm. are herder failures because they didn't pass instinct test. Not that they couldn't herd sheep, but they didn't immediately have an instinct for it. So they would probably not be very good herders. So we take them like later in their lives to play with sheep, see how they do. Amadeus did pretty well. He liked to do it. He wasn't serious about it. Amadeus has never been serious about anything in his life, not even Frisbee. The only thing he's ever been serious about is taking care of me. If I was sick, he's by me. If I needed something, he's by me. So as far as being a therapy dog, that's the only thing he's really serious about. The rest of it is a joke to him. Everything has been a joke to him in his entire life. He's funny. He's known as a jester. He has, in the Frisbee world, he has a certain move that we call it's called the Amadeus. So most dogs, when a Frisbee is thrown, they track it and they open their mouth and they catch it. Amadeus prefers to watch it come down. He does not open his mouth. He watches it to the point where he can bounce it off his nose two or three times, watch it go back up in the air two or three times, and then catch it because he likes to play his own game. And it looks like a little seal bouncing a ball off his nose, and it's called the Amadeus. Bounce, 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 oh, catch. Bounce, 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 oh, catch. Because he's the Amadeus. Nothing is serious in his life. Yeah, he's my Amadeus. Yeah, he's a joke, man.
Is he near you?
Yeah.
You didn't hear him breathing?
Well, no, it's just... I just thought I'd go like this.
Amadeus.
Yeah, he's a big baby. He's my big baby, though. If you've ever wanted a dog to be a big baby. And he smiles at people. I don't know. I think you guys have seen the big smile picture of him.
Now he's got an intro.
He likes it. Yeah, he loves that song, you know. He really does.
Good.
Yeah, you see his big smiley picture, right?
Say that again?
Deb, you've seen his big smile picture, I think.
I have, yes, and I've seen him watch TV, and I've been on the phone to witness him trapping his mommy in bed so she's forced to rest. And
yeah.
She's my hero.
He's a nutso. Yeah, he's my hero.
But he loves his mama.
No, he is. He does, and you should hear him at 7:30 every morning.
No, thank you.
Yeah. All right, my peeps. I was thinking about what I should do next week for my show.
Family vacations. You went camping. Let's go.
Oh, no, I did that. I did that once, and it was crazy.
Uh-huh. The bitches' britches.
Yes.
I love that story.
I tell you what, that was the craziest story ever. And you want to know something? It was so funny because my brother was here for a vacation a couple weeks ago, and they started talking about it. And I'm like, oh, my God, you guys do not believe what has happened over that lady's panties. And they read some of the poems. They thought they were hilarious. Because, like, I can't believe we did that. It was so crazy. And I'm like, because you guys don't know, I don't think you know the whole story of us putting the mattresses in one room and sleeping together. And yeah. I mean, it was so, so bad.
The truth is stranger than fiction.
Yeah.
All right, I gotta go. Love and respect both of you.
All right. Love and respect to you. We're gonna go say goodnight. It was a great show, guys. Thank you very much for coming. I had a good time. So I'll see you guys soon. Talk to you guys later.
See you in the funny papers.
See you in the funny papers. Thanks for hanging out with me, Rack. I appreciate
it.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for using Walk Talk Radio. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.